Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
One of the many things you may have missed lately amid all the coronavirus news, the 2020 Pritzker Architecture Prize was awarded to the co-founders of the Irish design firm Grafton Architects. That would be Yvonne Farrell and Shelley McNamara. I spoke with them in March, shortly after they won the prize, which is sometimes referred to as the Nobel for architecture. And I asked them how being based in Ireland informs their design.
It's a wonderful thing to come from this country. Both Shelley and I are products of the Irish education system. And we've had wonderful opportunities here to be architects. And we were building here for many years before we won an international competition for Bocconi University in Italy.
It's probably not terribly well known, but the culture of architecture that has grown in Ireland over the last 10 years, let's say 15 years, has been gradually getting stronger. And in many ways, the fact that we were invited to curate the Venice Biennale in 2018 was a recognition of this, that people are starting to realize that perhaps something interesting is happening in Ireland.
And Jeremy, to add to that, it's also that when you live on an island, what is fantastic is that you both have indigenous influences, but also you're ready to receive indigenous from other places. Mm-hmm. So you also have a perspective that's both very anchored in place, but also very open to the influences at a global level.
A lot of your work features big open spaces, either internal or external, like multi-story atria or open staircases, often illuminated with lots of natural light. How much do you think about how people are going to use those spaces as you're designing them?
Well, architecture is a framework within which people live out their lives. Our role is to make this framework and to give people a sense of dignity and a sense of worth and a sense of elation. I think what was interesting for us in the Venice Biennale manifesto was really teasing out these first principles of architecture, what our material is. We wanted to focus on space because we believe that above all we are space makers, we're not just object makers. And the basis of civic society is really making places and spaces where people can feel comfortable together. That's one of the key roles of architecture, is how to make that Yvonne calls the unexpressed wishes of strangers, that we're dealing with particular users, but we're also dealing with the stranger who passes by or who wanders into a building. That's the joy of city, it's the joy of architecture, it's the joy of collective spaces. You learn by accident, by serendipity. All of those things come into our thinking when we're making space.
Speaking of gathering together and people getting together, how is it to work together as architects to do these projects with both of you involved?
I think it's enriched by having more torches shining light on a particular issue. I think what's wonderful for both Shelley and myself is also the team of people that we have around us, that we really try to have a collective view, that we often discuss architects as translators, that we translate the needs of people into space, you know, whatever they might be, auditoria or classrooms or in-house, depending what it is. So we get this kind of collage of, if we were making a handmade bedspread, all the little pieces, all these handkerchiefs of needs, we try and understand them for what they need to be themselves, and then we try to find a story that weaves this new scenario. We believe every project is like an invention, that every new project has a kind of an element of fiction in it, that you weave a story around which the new lives of all the people, like sometimes projects have, 3,500 people are going to live in these complexes that we might build, the kind of overlap. That's the thing that I suppose that fascinates Shelley and I, is that architecture holds you totally. It holds you in the morning as you wake up. It holds you as you go to school. It holds you in cities or in the countryside. So we really feel passionate about our profession. I think the fault of our profession is that we many times talk to ourselves and not enough to the general public. And the general public are the very people who are affected by all the architectural decisions that are made.
You know, it's interesting. We spoke on this program earlier with Balkrishna Doshi, who also won the Pritzker Prize. He's an Indian architect, and he studied with Le Corbusier. And I asked him what they talked about and what he learned from him. And he said, you know, we never really talked about architecture. We only talked about life and philosophy.
Yeah, well, it's one of the wonderful things about being an architect is that you're not working alone. In fact, it's very difficult to work alone. So those conversations that one has enrich our lives. And it's something that I'm certainly thankful for every day, that I can come into a space here in Dublin and have the best conversations of my life with my colleagues.
What we love really, Jeremy, is when architecture is not the object of delight necessarily, but that people feel the warmth of a brick surface against their back, or that a really beautifully positioned bench holds you when you're tired, or that architecture is at the service of humanity. And we often speak about the fact that since 2008, more than half the world live in cities. So therefore, what is built becomes what we call the new geography, so that what we are building is really the, if you like, the holder, the tender arms that will hold future generations. So that architecture is not only about the beauty of a particular thing, but in how each particular thing is put together and thought about infrastructurally. That's a thing that we're really passionate about, that architects should become much more involved in the infrastructure of cities, how water is dealt with, how sewage is dealt with, all those things could have a cultural component and are certainly, when vast amount of money are spent on huge human needs, what we would argue for is that a component of that is also thought about at a cultural level.
So what do you think about what's being built right now? Because, for the last many years, a lot of the world has been in a building boom. And what you see going up in many places, certainly in the United States, are big glass towers and kind of boring condo buildings all over the place.
Well, I think good architects need to be given a chance to make the better quality buildings that they are capable of making. And very often, the best architects are sidelined and are not in the forefront for a whole variety of reasons. But just, it's interesting when you talk about glass buildings. What we found extraordinary when we went to Lima, where we won a competition, we made a building in Lima where it really is like a viaduct or an aqueduct or something. It's not like a building at all, in a way, you could say. And that's because we thought about the climate and that you could move externally because it's a moderate city and it enjoys the breeze from the Pacific. And so the only spaces we made were internal, were the actual teaching spaces in this new University of Engineering in Lima. And so many of the buildings around us were buildings you could find in Sydney or New York or Los Angeles or whatever, all glass buildings. And we just found that so strange. One really has to take the culture and climate of a place and make things which are particular to it, which all of the ancient architects would have done if you look at historic architecture.
Recently, I went to see the film Apollo 11. There were scientists who were able to design a craft that could go from Earth to Moon and come back to the Earth atmosphere. So my point really is that if we can make a craft collectively that can go from our atmosphere to the lunar atmosphere, that we can make buildings of the future that survived. Like, we often refer to a wonderful building in Milan called Ospedale Maggiore, which comes from the 1400s, and it's still in use. It's still a university, it was a hospital, and it has a series of these gorgeous, ordinary courtyards, and it's still a machine. It still works, it's still very beautiful. That architecture is very interesting. It's both the future and the past and the present. So what we would like to discuss, I suppose, and make your audience aware or discuss with you, that can we not think about buildings in the future that have very little maintenance running costs, and that we think about ordinary things that are very beautiful, the height of a floor to ceiling, a lovely window that opens out and you can hear a blackbird sing, that the pleasure of looking at a tree, that architecture can be setting up very, very simple relationships. It doesn't necessarily mean huge expenditure. It actually takes a certain way of thinking.
Well, I could listen to you both all day long, but unfortunately, the biggest room, if you will, that we have in our house of this program is 11 minutes long, and we've gone through it all. But Yvonne Farrell and Shelley McNamara, co-founders of the Irish design firm Grafton Architects and winners of this year's Pritzker Architecture Prize, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And we've got photos of some of their work at hereandnow.org. By the way, if that interview sounded like a blast from the past with all the talk of convening spaces and getting together, that's because it was. It was recorded in March. The two architects were in the same room. Probably wouldn't happen today. There was an audio engineer recording their end of the conversation. Definitely wouldn't happen today. And I was working from the studio rather than from home. Those were the days.